Good evening and welcome to Donahue Live from New York City. Tonight, we continue our debate with angry white men, and they appear to be everywhere, may I say. We're looking at how immigrants are impacting America, from concerns about terrorism to lost jobs. Should foreigners be kept out? America has been known as the land of opportunity, opening its borders when other nations shut theirs. Some feel we've gone too far. There are over 30 million immigrants living now in the United States. I'm with Jared Taylor. He's the editor of American Renaissance, a publication dealing with race and immigration. You think Latinos are a threat. What's the threat?
The threat they articulate quite clearly in what they describe, in fact, as reconquista, reconquering the southwestern part of the United States.
They do say that?
Oh, of course they say that. Have you never heard of the Reconquista movement? The Mexican officials themselves are proud of the fact that, as they say, street by street, town by town, Mexico is taking back the southwestern part of the United States.
You don't want more Mexicans to come to the United States?
No, I think 15 million is enough, don't you? 15 million, for heaven's sake?
Keep them out. You're Mexican, no. You're out of here.
Look, many of them are coming despite our laws. They cross our borders illegally. Some of them go on welfare. They cause all sorts of problems in terms of bilingual education, interpreters in courtrooms. The Hispanic violent crime rate is about three times the white crime rate. Why should we want these people here?
You think they're taking our jobs as well, do you?
Oh, I think certainly they take jobs from people with lower skills, and that would probably primarily be black people.
I see.
But the jobs issue, I think, is far less important. Uh-huh. Far less than the question of national identity. You've probably never heard of Mecha, have you?
Probably haven't.
Movimiento Estudiantil Chicano d'Aztlán. It has chapters in universities all around the country, high schools as well,
right.
And their plan is to carve out what they call the Bronze Continent. It's called Aztlán,
right.
from which all whites will be kicked out, and it will be a sort of northern chunk of Mexico. You don't call that a threat?
J. Edgar Hoover said there was a communist under every bed, or seemed to imply that, big threat. Now there's a Mexican under every bed. Do you have any idea the contributions that Latino have made to the United States? Incidentally, we looked this up. Did you know that that there are more Medal of Honor winners are Latino than any other ethnic group?
That would surprise me.
More
Latinos than white? I'd be very surprised.
Governor Richardson of New Mexico.
Yes.
Is a Latino.
You wouldn't tell to look at him, would you?
His mother's name was Lopez.
Okay.
Are you sorry he came? And how do you feel, by the way, of Governor Jeb Bush's marriage? He's married to a woman of Mexican
origin. His nephew says, we have to defend our race. And he's not talking about his father's side of the family. He's talking about Hispanics. When he goes on and campaigns for his uncle, he talks about, we need people who will defend our race. The organization, one of the most important...
To defend his race against the bigotry that's being promoted by, among other people, American Renaissance Magazine.
Just wanting to be left alone is bigotry? Why is that?
Abe Foxman called your magazine, Renaissance Magazine, American Renaissance, a white supremacist magazine. That's true, isn't it?
He's wrong. He's absolutely wrong. Presumably wants to rule over others. My point is simply, people prefer the company of people like themselves. Please just leave us alone. Imagine if hundreds of thousands of white Americans were pouring across the border into Mexico, insisting on instruction in English, celebrating 4th of July rather than Cinco de Mayo, insisting on ballot papers in English. Do you think the Mexicans could be tricked into thinking that that was cultural enrichment?
Never.
They would recognize an invasion when they saw it, and so should we.
But I think we could benefit from more interchange and more commerce with this culture.
How many million do you want?
I want to show you a quote that you made, a quote from a speech that you made not long ago. It was 1966. You spoke at the Jefferson Davis... 1996, sorry.
Yeah.
This is the Jefferson Davis Monument, right where you belong, Fairfield, Kentucky. Does America need Haitians, Mexicans, and Cambodians, and Guatemalans by the millions where these people settle? Be it Miami, South Central Los Angeles, or Brownsville, Texas. These places cease to be parts of the United States and become parts of the third world.
Never a truer word was said.
You believe this. They're a threat to our jobs. They're a threat to our culture. I mean, how frightened are you going to be?
Tell me this, Mr. Donahue. Can you name a single majority non-white neighborhood you'd like to live in? A majority Mexican neighbor you'd majority Mexican neighborhood you'd like to live in? Or can you name a single majority black or Hispanic school you'd like your children to go to?
Can you?
Please, just one. Just one.
You have this notion. If you're here to say that every neighborhood in which people of color live go to seed, you cannot support that assertion.
And name one you'd like to live in.
Yeah.
Just one.
I want to know more about this threat.
All right.
Threat. Jobs especially, you think?
No, not especially jobs.
Oh.
Jobs are, I think, a relatively minor matter. The fact is, most white Americans, whether they admit it or not, they believe what I believe. And that is why, when the school district, when the neighborhood, when the church, all of that turns Mexican or Haitian or Guatemalan, they clear out.
They do.
And where do they go? They go to neighborhoods that are still majority white. And I'm telling you, it's natural,
right,
normal, and healthy for them to do that.
Right.
Every other group takes that for granted. They prefer to be with people who are like themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that.
At the Jefferson Davis Monument, your speech. Ladies and gentlemen, you said grandly, we're gathered here today to celebrate the memory of these brave men who gave their lives for their country, for the Confederate States of America.
Yep.
Why do we still remember them and honor them? More than 130 years after the guns fell silent, why does the Confederate soldier and what he stood for inspire us? The Confederate soldier stood for slavery. Does that inspire you?
One household in six owned slaves in the Confederacy. A small minority. The people who fought for Robert E. Lee were not fighting for slavery. They were fighting for independence just the way their ancestors fought for independence from England.
I'm proud to be a Southerner. I'm proud of the men who wore the gray. I'm proud of my heritage, proud of my race, and proud of my people. You're not a white supremacist?
No. You can be proud of your family without having any sense of superiority.
So because only a few of them owned slaves, then... That's why you can actually sit here and suggest that the war that they fought was not in support of slavery?
Oh, they fought for independence. They fought for, just as I say, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and those people, they likewise fought for independence. Do you know the Great Seal of the Confederacy has an image of George Washington on it? Because they felt they were precisely in the same tradition.
All right.
They were rebelling against taxation from a distant power.
Donald from Florida, glad you waited. Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
What I have to say is I've been in the lawn service business, construction business, for the last 25 years. I've watched the Mexicans come in and basically cutthroat the prices on the work, do the work for a fraction of what the American would do it and what it should be done for.
Mm-hmm.
They basically have taken over at least 50 to 60% of the work force out there for the working construction labor type man, because they will do the work for next to nothing.
Right, and who do you blame for that?
I blame the U.S. for letting them come
over
here.
What about the Caucasian construction company owners?
Yeah, they've come in and just taken over, and they leave the working man. You teach one of them, and the rest of them, they work for nothing.
Here's from your fundraising letter. You can't back up from this.
I haven't backed off a single thing you've said. No truer word said.
More and more whites are beginning to realize what is at stake. You're asking for money.
Yes.
Over the years, as a guest on hundreds of radio call-in programs.
Hundreds.
Boy, those radio programs, can't wait to put you on. I have experienced firsthand a reawakening of white racial consciousness. Whites are beginning to see that our people, our children, our nation, and our way of life are under threat.
Indeed.
You're in a losing battle here. Incidentally, as you may know, by 2050, only 53% of us will be Caucasian. Imagine that.
Do you think that's a good thing?
Sure.
Sure.
I think we're all God's children.
I
don't think, first of all, there's anything we can do about it. You've got too many Spanish-speaking, brown-skinned people south of our border. You're not going to be able to stand up and build a fence and say, no, you can't come here. Welcome them. Look what they've contributed to our culture already. We've had an astronaut in space. All kinds of people from Latino heritages have come forward and realized the American dream, and you're up here saying you're scared of them.
If it's good for the majority population, whites in America, to be reduced to a minority, if that's good for us, Why isn't it good for Mexicans, for Nigerians, for Japanese? Why shouldn't they all be reduced to a minority by immigrants?
What's good for us is good for them. I think that the Mexico could be enriched by a more diverse population.
You think they'd
all
stand
of us
for
could
it?
Be.
You that's, think they'd stand for it?
That's why we've got such a great city here called New York City, where everybody gets along.